Hey there, welcome to the show. Well, you know what? I can't believe it. We've already blown through February, and here we are in the month of March. You know, that normally means it's real estate season, so there's going to be a lot for us to talk about on the show today. I'm pretty excited about it because, you know, it could be possible that we are going to start seeing a little bit turn of events in the world of real estate. Before I go down that road, just so you know, in studio today, I have got Dave Butler. That's right, the name synonymous with mortgages, Dave Butler Mortgage. He is going to be joining me. I'm going to talk to Dave about all sorts of things. Of course, what's coming up soon? Well, you know what? Dave's going to let you know what is going to be happening next week, of course, and so much more. But before I go down that road, I do want to talk to everybody, obviously, about what the heck is happening in the world of politics, which definitely has an adverse effect here at home when we talk about real estate. You know, it's kind of funny because a lot of people say, Todd, you know, it seems like your recent rants or some of your posts on YouTube, by the way, you should be following us there. But, you know, some of my stuff, I've been leaning towards politics. And you know, it's not that I really want to get political on this. I mean, everybody can have their own affiliation, their own beliefs and everything else. But when the actual government is doing such a horrible job and putting Canada into further debt, you know, I do bring it up because it does have an adverse effect on you and I, you know, your typical Canadian, your typical homeowner, and what we have to look forward to the future for ourselves and not just us, but our family. And, you know, one of the things that you'll hear me talk about on a regular basis here is generational wealth. And I do talk about investment real estate a lot, and that's just, that's a natural, you know, reflection of what I do. But more importantly, it's also, you know, what is going to be important for our future. So, you know, when there is government decisions being made that are going to have an adverse effect to that, you know, I want to bring it up. I want to bring it up to everybody's attention. I think it's really important that, you know, we kind of open things up so everybody, you know, because one of the things, if you haven't figured out, we here at Simply Real Estate, I am definitely not your typical media. Okay, quite frankly, I think most of them are narcissists and they gaslight like crazy. I think that they are just nothing but talking puppets for, you know, the government and a certain way of looking at things. I don't believe in most of the headlines. Most of them are not factual. You know, they just get on a rant and they pass it around to every single station and say, you must say this. I mean, you know, we heard it during all sorts of world events, obviously. And when we talk about the narrative of real estate, we talk about things such as immigration, the numbers, you know, the government lying about the numbers of, and now, of course, you know, it seems like everybody's on a campaign trail. Last time I checked, I mean, we're what, a year and a half away from an election? And yet everybody's on a campaign trail right now as if we're in the middle of a campaign that we're going to have an election in like a couple of weeks. It's amazing because now everybody's jumping to the aid of real estate. And I got to tell you, it gets really annoying when, you know, they visit a small town and say, hey, we're going to help build 12 homes. Wow. Gee, okay. like that's going to move the needle. And yet it's that photo op that these politicians are taking. And yet the solution, you know, and it's funny because the solution isn't today. It's about tomorrow or, you know, 10 years from now. Like, this is the thing. The commitment to solving our housing problem is being pushed so far into the future that it's not solving anything. If anything, you know, it's, you know, they've delayed the process even further. So here we are, you know, your typical Canadians, knowing that there is a housing situation. And, you know, I can sit there and call it a crisis. We can sit there and call it all sorts of things. But the truth is, we just need more product, right? We've got people immigrating here into Canada, you know, huge numbers, you know, vacancy rates drop. You know, we have issues, obviously, with the Bank of Canada. And that is a completely different side note that I'm going to get into with Dave in a minute. But, you know, the Bank of Canada, you know, has left pressure on everybody so to make Canadians hurt even more. And out of nowhere, the other week, you know, federal government jumps up and down saying, well, we think the Bank of Canada should react and get the interest rates down. Hey, no kidding, Sherlock. You should have dealt with this a long time ago. You figure that unless a Canadian is bleeding, you don't do anything. So this is why my disappointment. And again, I know a lot of people are sitting there saying, Todd, you know, well, we don't want to hear your political view. It's not a political view. It's actually a humanitarian view. It's about being a Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian. You know, my family's Canadian. My grandparents were born in Canada. You know, one of the most important things to me was being able to travel around the world as a national athlete with a Canadian flag on my back. And I did it proudly. And now I just think that we're a complete mockery of the world in so many ways. And, you know, it doesn't help that we've got leaders that turn around and would rather spend hard-earned Canadian dollars everywhere else but in Canada. And, you know, when they turn around and say, yes, we're going to attribute, you know, $100 million. Yeah, how about the $3 billion you just turned around and decided to throw to another country? I mean, you have to take a look at the big picture. You know, take care of home first. And home is most important. And you know, as homeowners, as families, you know, we know that the most important thing is to have our home in order. You know, as a homeowner, I can tell you, you know, the best peace I ever have is when my family's happy. You know, we feel that we're secure. We feel that we're safe. You know, as a Canadian, I don't know if everybody has that feeling anymore. I think as a Canadian, most people don't feel safe. They don't feel secure. And it's because of what, you know, the overall feeling of home in Canada has happened. And, you know, so that's kind of my PO'd part of the week. Hey, by the way, guess what? We are going to have another Simple Seminar coming up at the end of April. That's right. I'm really excited about it. We're going to be giving a lot of different things away this time, and you don't want to miss out on it. So make sure, you know, keep an eye on our website. We're going to give you a date real soon, probably something around April 27th. It's going to be a Saturday Simple Seminar webinar. You're going to want to get there for sure. But, you know, again, I'm really excited about it. If you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you do it. The Simple Investor One. And of course, my YouTube channel. By the way, if you get it, you know, here on the show, you know, we like to keep it, family rated. You know, we want to keep everything, you know, PG or G. But if you want to hear myself and a lot of my cool guests that join me on the Simple Podcast, this is where we really get to vent our spleen. And you know what? Make sure you hop over to our YouTube channel for that, because again, we have so much fun doing it. My producer always gives us, you know, a high five when we turn around and do one of those. So, you know what? That's one of the important things for us to do. But hey, listen, Dave's been patiently waiting. And you know what? How about we bring him in, because he is definitely a fighter for the people. And hey, Dave, here we go. We got the bell ringing you in.
Listen, that was a very cool monologue, because I think, you know, when I came away from the talk triangle, the last one we did, I remember actually feeling like, you know what, I remember even driving home going like, you know what, the show, if that one felt a little political. But, you know, to your point, and I think this is the key, it's like, you and how long, like, I've been on the show, you've been doing the show for a long, long time. I've only been on the show as a guest for a couple years now. We didn't talk politics before. We talked a lot of mortgages, a lot of real estate. But why? Because for all of that time, for a lot of that time, we didn't suffer from some of the issues that the current government has been doing. You know, it's, why are we talking politics? Well, guess what? If you're going to bring 2 million people into the country, you know what I mean? You're not going to build enough homes for those people. We're going to be forced naturally in a real estate show and a mortgage show to talk about politics. That's just the sad reality of it. Because if you look back, you know, go and look at the 2000s, go and look at up until about 2016, 2017, look at our immigration numbers. There's a constant there. And that also constant goes back to the fact that we didn't have to talk politics so much on a real estate show. But now look at the data and people are wondering, well, why are you guys talking politics on a real estate show? We have no choice. Politics has taken over, sadly. And I don't want to say politics, I want to say the bad politics has taken over real estate at the moment. And sadly, this is, you know, we're sending out newsletters to our clients. You know what it's all about? It's all about what the government's going to be doing. This has changed everything. And we're sadly sitting here waiting on this precipice to see what they're going to do. And are they going to throw us a bone? You know what I mean? It's sad.
Yeah. But, you know, David, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really, really good point. And for a long time there, the government didn't say anything about real estate and inventory. Yep. In fact, you know, less than a year ago, you had, you know, Justin Trudeau sitting there saying it's not a federal responsibility. I mean, he came right out in a press conference basically saying that, you know, federal government really didn't have a whole lot of influence on real estate. Now, because it's become one of the hottest topics, the one that the Canadians are now more concerned about. Of course, you know, interest rates are huge, but inventory is huge. And there's so much about it. Now, all of a sudden, every politician is pointing up to the microphone to talk about real estate to nauseam, and in the same breath, they don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, look, Justin Trudeau and his people that he has brought on, they're running a country, but they also need to realize you have to run it like a business. Other countries are reacting like businesses. There are business aspects to running a country, and these are just, in my opinion, very, very poor ways of doing things. Coming out, to your point, coming out, big press conference, we're going to build 12 homes in Nanuktuk or someplace like that. Like that's not, and by the way, they're also saying, if you actually read the, if you go through the press release, it says that these homes will be built in 2028. This is just window dressing for what is coming up in the upcoming election. These guys are trying so hard to rebalance the polls, and it's obvious to me. This stuff isn't helping. Here, we're going to bring in 2 million people, but we're going to build 44 homes. Why? Like, where's the math on that? That's a terrible, terrible way of running a business. Why are we letting these people get away with this running our own country?
Yeah, and you know what? You couldn't have hit it better, because quite frankly, none of them know how to run a business. And if they did, they'd run it into the ground. And you know, hey, listen, you know what? They want to be a nonprofit organization. Do it on their own dime. Don't do it on the Canadian dime, because quite frankly, Canadians, if we turn around and we put the tax dollars into the pot, then the Canadians should be the ones benefiting from it, and it should be held accountable. You know what? I could sit there and go on about the ArriveCan app, but we're going to talk about that and more when we come back. I've got Dave Butler in-house with me. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. You know, just before the break, Dave Butler is in-house with me from Dave Butler Mortgage. Of course, name synonymous with mortgages. And, you know, I got to tell you, Dave, you know, you really picked up exactly what I was putting down when we talk about the government and the idea of running a business. You know, the best countries, and I know people get, you know, a little bit concerned about this when we start talking about running it like a company. But here's the thing. If a company continues to lose money, sooner or later, the company goes out of business. Well, I'm kind of feeling that, you know, Canada's kind of getting pretty close to, hey, we're going to get closed for business, because there's just no way we can survive, especially the way the money is being spent not in Canada. I mean, geez, I don't know where this happens. But, you know, and then the complete mistreatment of funds when we talk about things such as, you know, the ArriveCan app. I mean, holy smokes, that was probably one of the biggest slaps in a Canadian taxpayer's face when you find out that, hey, look, you know what? You could go to any one of the local colleges. You could hire, you know, a developer. You know, they were sitting there saying 15 grand, 60 grand, 80 grand, and we paid over $60 million. And I mean, what were the guys doing? Sitting in, you know, I don't know what they were doing, but $60 million for something. It just seems like taxpayers' money is going out when the most important thing we need to be doing is focusing on housing, dealing with the homelessness. I mean, Dave, holy smokes, have you seen? I mean, you go down to the game sometimes in Toronto. It's insane.
Tent cities are turning into tent provinces now. You know what I mean? Like the stuff I'm seeing, stuff you're seeing, the stuff the listeners are seeing, we're, you know, regardless of your political views or not, you can't deny the fact that what we're seeing right now is something we haven't seen before in this country. And, you know, call me, you know, an idiot, but I'm the kind of guy that just goes, okay, well, it wasn't like this before. How do we look to get back to the way it was before? You know, first thing is, yeah, let's put some money into things that are going to help Canadians. You know, a lot of money being misappropriated, being sent elsewhere, and yet here we are with mass homelessness. You know, to the point, like, you know, it's sad to me is that we're, you know, Canada was always looked at as a great place if you could immigrate to there. It was like, wow, you got lucky, you got to Canada. We were also known back in the day as peacekeepers. Remember, we actually put money, our government had decided we were going to put a lot of our money into peacekeeping. That's gone out the door. You know, our money is being given to a chosen side now. You know, and that's not to try to get political over regards to the war. I'm just saying it really does feel, to your point, that a lot of that money every, we're waking up almost on a weekly basis and seeing more of our tax dollars. And I think we need to be really clear on this. And for anyone that's listening to this, that's your money. That's your money. Yeah. That money, they don't just make it up out of thin air. That money has to be repaid. Sure, they're printing it, but at the end of the day, that deficit will need to get paid down. And that's only done through tax dollars. So I just think it's us as Canadians, we need to really kind of wake up a bit and go, whoa, 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 what's going on here? That's our money. You're spending $80 million of our money that we are working hard for. You're taking a lot of our dough. Why is it going to people sitting in an office taking $80 million where, or $60 million where to cut a house, $80,000? Why are we sending it abroad to other countries? I'm all for helping other countries, but can't we help ourselves? I just want us to help Canadians.
Yeah, we're not being put first, okay? No. And as I had said earlier, you know, you got to have peace at home before you can help influence peace everywhere else. And you know, when you talk about, let's say, new immigration, right? You know, for many years, Canada was considered the place to immigrate to. You know, when you take a look at how Canada got built, it got built on immigration. It got built on, you know, building homes. You know, that was a huge part of building Canada. Today, we're finding and hearing reports that a lot of the new immigrants are saying, wow, we really regret moving to Canada. And I mean, listen, the door's wide open. So no matter what, you know, you're going to have some naysayers. You're going to have people that are just showing up just to show up. But in the end, when you hear a lot of the woes of people that have immigrated the last few years, they're sitting there saying, wow, we really made a mistake coming to Canada. We can't survive here. We can't live here. You know, we can't find housing here. We can't. We pay so much in taxes. Now, I get it. You know, there are going to be people that, you know, you're never going to make people happy. I mean, there's definitely that group. But, you know, yeah. And to your point years ago, we never heard this negativity. Like, you know, I go back, you know, since I started the show, which is now we're coming into our 11th season, you know, in the very early days, I never, ever, ever heard anybody complain about being a Canadian immigrant, like coming in new to the country. You never heard it. It was never that problem. You know, I used to go down to the studio. Now we hear, you know, we got our own studio to do this at. But, you know, I used to go down to the studio. I didn't see any tents. I didn't see any homelessness. I mean, the odd person here and there, you know, but downtown at the studio on Richmond there, you know, we didn't see that. Now it's like you can't turn a corner without seeing a tent city. I mean, it's disgusting, and I know a lot of people are sitting there saying, guys, you're really drilling this whole political thing home. Yes, but it has an adverse effect on every single Canadian. Dave, as you mentioned, our Canadian tax dollars should be going to work towards creating more roofs over people's head, worrying about the next generation. They're going to inherit such a tax debt, they're never going to be able to buy a house because they're not going to be able to afford it. Second of all, there's not going to be enough homes that can be developed, so prices are going to continue to increase. And ultimately, in the end, this is going to create a bigger housing crisis. I mean, I look at it, you look at it, we analyze it. 10 years from now, I'm telling you, I'm scared.
We both have children. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, it's different. You know, everyone's perspective is always going to be different on this. I mean, look, if I'm 20 something years old, I don't have any kids, you know, I can have a completely different perspective on how this government is doing. Because if I don't have to think about anything being left for my children, then that's different. And all the power to anyone in that position. Because currently right now, if you have children, you're in a rough spot compared to people that don't. Not because, you know, you have children, but because the thought of your children being left in a country without your help to fend for themselves in a place where housing affordability is insane, wages are comparative to what we're paying in taxes, insane, and the quality of life is different. I mean, look, you said it perfectly. we used to be the country that people used to love to come to, right? Remember when you go on a vacation, you see people like, where are you from? Canada. Oh, I hear such great things about Canada. I love it out there. It's affordable.
Family member living there,
you can buy a home out there. It's affordable. You can get a job, all these things. That was what made the Canadian dream such a cool thing for people to want to do. And to your point, that's not happening now. Instead, you and I are seeing interviews of immigrants that are brand new here or have been here for 6 months to a year saying, oh, this is terrible. If you told me this was the situation I would have come into, I would not have left my country. I want to go home.
They actually said the government lied to them because they said, oh, it was all propaganda saying that, hey, live the Canadian dream and all that. And you know what? You're right, Dave, because there are people that are going to go home. And then so there's going to be that other flip to the side where people are going to say, great, let them go home. That means it's going to free up, you know, housing inventory. Guess what? The housing inventory problem started 25 years ago, okay? They just didn't set it up properly. Even with natural growth in population, we were still behind. Before the idiot federal government turned around and took the restriction off of immigration, we still weren't keeping up. Like, I mean, you and I can talk about, you know, like 2011, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, you know, natural immigration coming in, natural progression of population growth, and yet we still weren't producing enough homes to play catch up. We just didn't have it so staggeringly put in front of us. The numbers were not that skewed. And, you know, Dave, that's one of the big things that for us, you know, you and I discussing this stuff, numbers are very important. Folks, speaking of numbers, you know what? There's some staggering numbers that are going to be coming out, hopefully in the near future. We're going to have Dave stay with us because on our next section, we're going to talk about something that's going to happen very interestingly this next week. So Dave's going to weigh in on what's going to happen. And on top of that, hey, look at, if you're thinking that you want to know a little bit more about us, go to thesimpleinvestor.com. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, TheSimpleInvestor1. And if you want to catch us, you know, unfiltered, go to our YouTube channel and watch The Simple Podcast. And when we come back, we'll have more with Dave Butler. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. Hey, look, you know, I have to tell you, every once in a while, I get to, you know, really just let go. And when I have a guest like Dave Butler from Dave Butler Mortgage, you know, come in and join me. As you know, Dave's part of my real estate talk triangle, but every once in a while we get together and, you know, we just kind of sit there and brainstorm and think, okay, what's the future look like? One of the most important things over the last few years that has had a huge, huge effect on every single Canadian is, of course, the Bank of Canada. And the Bank of Canada lied to us, as we all know. And so for me, it's one of those things that, you know, when we talk about interest rates, you know, yeah, we left them too low too long. But Dave, coming up this week, of course, Tiff Macklin, I'm going to put him in the corner. I'm going to put you in the corner and we're going to have you guys come out fighting. I think Tiff is just going to leave his dukes up and not do anything. Dave, what do you think Tiff's going to do this week for the Bank of Canada?
This week, nothing. This week, there's just no way. They can't, you know, they're in a weird spot. They're not going to lower and they're not going to raise. They're going to hold pat. It'll be the seventh of nine, have the last nine meetings. So, you know, you try to keep numbers in perspective. Seven of the last nine meetings, including this meeting they're about to have on Wednesday, they will have held rates. And even the two times that they did raise rates in those nine meetings, it was only by a quarter point each time. So we definitely, you know, it would appear to me we have a stabilization of interest rates at this point. I think the fear of them, you know, the Bank of Canada, when I say them, moving rates up, I think we're kind of past that. I think we need to keep an eye on inflation. But I do think we're kind of now in that kind of quasi zone right in between what they're going to do. And I think the language that they use on Wednesday is going to be very, very interesting. We are going into a Bank of Canada meeting where the most recent inflation print is 2.9, the second lowest print we've had since April of 2021. This will be interesting to see what they say. I do believe, though, we hold. And look, another thing that's coming up is only 5 weeks later. That's it. 5 weeks later, another Bank of Canada meeting on April 10th. So this is one of those times, you know, only happens twice in the year where you're going to have Bank of Canada meetings all within almost a month of each other. And you got a CPI print coming in between there. So a lot of stuff. I mean, between now and that April 10th meeting, there's going to be a lot of talk. There's going to probably be some movement in the bond yields. And who knows? I mean, we might even see a little kickoff of the spring market, depending on his remarks. But I'm super interested, as someone who's a bit of a nerd on this stuff. This meeting and the April 10th meeting, to me, are probably two of the most important meetings that we're going to have in the next couple of years.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned about the CPI showing up at 2.9. You know, when you factor out a few things such as mortgage payments, interest payments, that kind of thing, the actual number dropped much lower, 1.9, I think, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So it's quite low when you take that out. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, when you talk about inflation, and, you know, you and I do this a fair bit because we're looking at interest rates, obviously, for mortgage purposes, you know, in a way, the Bank of Canada artificially increased the inflationary index because of what they did to the interest rates. Like, you know, it wasn't like consumers just went out and were blowing their brains out. It's like, especially right now, but because they leave the interest rates so high, it keeps everything high. You know, it was interesting because Tip Macklin a little while ago came out and talked about the federal government and flat out said, if the government wasn't spending so much money and putting us any further into debt, the inflationary number would drop, you know. And then, of course, you know, Trudeau, in his infinite wisdom, turned around and said, well, you know, we need the Bank of Canada to do something about it. Well, hey, buddy, stop spending our money.
Yeah, that's our guy, right? That's our guy who claims to have zero notion or doesn't think about monetary policy. But then as soon as he sees a 2.9 on the CPI print, he starts calling for the Bank of Canada to make a move. Like, come on, man. Like, that's like, what are you doing? Like, that's, you look so bad. Like, you can't say in one breath, I don't pay attention to that. Okay, well then, okay, great. You leave that to someone else. And then, though, as soon as it's convenient for you, you know, while you're at a press release saying you're building 13 homes, you know, it's, again, and I think we talked about this on the Triangle. It's political theater. And the sad part is it's a theater that's a comedy. And then the worst part is us. We're in this comedy, and we don't even want to be in it.
Hey, no, it's a tragedy, Dave. Come on. I mean, this is worse than Macbeth, right?
It's a rom-com. Like,
okay, look. No, not you. No, definitely not. No. Look, somebody give him a dagger, okay? Or at least some. Yeah, it's a horror story. It is. And here's the biggest part of this is that as you mentioned, so government turns around, you know, they make a statement. When Tiff Macklin finally turns around, so when the Bank of Canada finally does decide to do it, and probably it's going to be a quarter point reduction, the problem that is going to happen is they are going to start to cluck like they had something to do with it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, this is the problem. The federal government is actually going to sit there. You know, forget about the provincial, you know, forget about the premiers. Guys, look, you don't have a leg to stand on. Like, you can sit there and say all you want to Tiff Macklin, but, you know, it's a federal problem. And when they do, the federal government's going to sit there and say, oh, look, under our watch. No, under your watch, you screwed absolutely everybody. But they're going to sit there and try to claim that they did something. This is all going to, the turn of events will all be based on individual Canadians having done what they've done.
Yeah. And I mean, look, isn't it conspicuous, the timing? You know what I mean? When you think about it, is that, you know, there's a possibility Bank Canada starts lowering rates in the summer, let's say. And by next summer, which will be just before the election that would be coming up, if it's not called earlier, wouldn't it be just so, like, how this government operates when now standing in front doing press conferences saying how they've fixed the housing issue and how they've made Canadians happy again? Like, that, it's just going right, like, timing-wise, going right, like, that's the sun. Like, imagine next summer, teeing right up into that election season. That's the stuff us as Canadians, and I feel like, I hope we're able to black and white this clip and play it a year from now. You know what I mean? When this happens, is that I can almost picture it. They're going to be claiming victory, as you say. We fixed the problem. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. The conservative government doesn't. Like, I just can see this turning into such a political thing. And again, politics. Why are they making everything now about politics? It's screwing our country up.
Well screwing. No, Dave, they have done their, they've done the damage. And I think you are bang on. I think they're going to sit there. But here's the problem. They can never lay claim, they can sit there and say, well, you know, we helped the interest rates drop down. No, you didn't. You punished Canadians. But the one thing you can be sure of is I want to know the number of completions of construction homes in 2024 and 2025, before anybody even goes to a poll. I want everybody to have that number. 2024, I want to know how many homes are being built. Because you know what? We know what the average in Canada can happen. Okay, you know, on a good year, you're 230,000. We were less in 2023. And, you know, because all the starts and stops and financing and everything else, things fell off. So I want to know the number, because they're sitting there saying that they need to add at least 300,000 to 400,000 more builds. Yeah, they push out the number. Tell you what, I'll sit there and actually become a believer if that number goes up over 400,000 homes in 2024. And you know what? That and me rolling the lucky dice, okay, is probably going to be, you know, about bang on that. You know, it's just, it's not going to happen. And I just get tired of all the semantics. Here's the one thing you and I both, I think, agree on, is the fact that as soon as the government gets involved in real estate, it blows up.
Yep, it blows up. And then now we're relying on them with their immigration, you know, issue to do it in an efficient way. But yet you and I know the stats. How many tradespeople are exiting the workforce soon?
Huge.
And out of the millions of people you've brought into the country, was there any type of concentration to relieve and replace those workers? And the answer is no, there was not. It was not. It was a wide open gate. We did not do immigration the way we used to do it, and we will suffer for it. And sadly, that we will be talking more politics on this show as time goes on. And I think that's very sad, but that's because that's where the world's come right now in the real estate. In Canada and in real estate, if you're not talking politics jived into it, it's not going to work.
Well, you know what, everybody, I think Dave Butler for Prime Minister, you know, you will start the campaign. Dave, I'll definitely support you. But, you know, you're right. I think, unfortunately, the political arena is going to continue to have an adverse effect on real estate and Canadians to a level never seen before, and it will continue to grow. And this is probably one of the saddest things, is that I think that the punishment of your typical Canadian is going to continue no matter what, because the government now sees real estate, home ownership, everything about it is basically on the books for them to screw with. You know what? We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have some of Dave's final thoughts and a lot of stuff that's going to be happening. So, hey, listen, why don't you stay with us? And if you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you do it. The Simple Investor One, and, you know, my YouTube channel. Hey, listen, when Dave and I are done the show today, we're going to hop over to our Simple Podcast. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you know, this is Simply Real Estate. And I think somebody is probably going to be saying it's simply political real estate. But, you know, here's the thing. Politics do play a huge part of it. Dave, you and I have had a big conversation today about it, only because it seems like, you know, every single politician, doesn't matter what level they're at, every single, you know, mayor, every single, you know, premier, everybody wants to weigh in on real estate like they have something to say. So you know what? Hey, I'm going to throw this out there. For any of our mayors, and you know, I normally had minutes with the mayors, but any mayor, you know, I always have invited Mr. Ford to come on. I'm always open to any political leader to come on the show, Simply Real Estate. Here's the thing. If you've got a politician that you think has a great solution for our housing, you know, problem, have them reach out, okay? Happy to have them on the show. I've had virtually every mayor in Ontario on this show at one time or another until it became too political with real estate. You know, we used to have minutes with the mayor. It's been a wonderful time. I've had all sorts of mayors, everybody from Toronto, Niagara, Sudbury, almost every single area, especially southwestern Ontario. But hey, look, if you want to hop on the show and be interviewed, tell us your solution, a political solution to real estate. I'm pretty sure that it's probably just going to go very, very quiet on us. I don't think we're going to hear a whole lot. But hey, look, the door's open. I'm opening up the mic. You want to come on? Happy to have you. Dave, you know, it's been an interesting time. The one thing I'm going to ask you now, though, because I know there's a lot of people that are going to ask this question. It is very much a mortgage question. And, you know, I could actually pretend it's, you know, a Dear Dave section. Dear Dave, what mortgage would you advise me to look at this time? You know, maybe that, you know, they've got some kind of fixed income, meaning that, you know, they're salaried, you know. There's a couple different ways of looking at it. I know some of my investors reach out to you for that advice. You know, your typical, you know, human reaches out to you for that advice.
Yep.
Tell us, if you were, you know, if you're going to give, and I need a couple scenarios because there's not one fit all.
Yep.
So what would you advise people today in today's Bank of Canada rate, knowing what's going to happen in the future or hope what's going to happen in the future? What's your advice today?
Look, based on a prediction that the Bank of Canada will begin to lower rates potentially in the summer and continue on doing that into 2025 and possibly beyond, it makes the most amount of sense to be taking a mortgage term that is flexible. The olden days of just walking into your bank, getting a mortgage and signing that 5-year fixed or that 5-year variable, it's kind of gone right now. We need fixed rates, particularly the medium to long term, you know, 3, 4, 5 year fixed rates, to come down to a level where I believe they're more in an affordable zone. You know, right now you've got, you know, we're not that far off. I mean, you've got 4.99s for a 5-year fix kicking around. You've got certain rates like that. But is that a rate I want to take for 5 years if I believe the Bank of Canada will start lowering, which would then lead to likely lower fixed rates? Probably not. I'd say that if we're looking for that dream scenario, right, the idea being that we'll see much lower, potentially much lower interest rates a year or even 18 months from now, you want to be in something flexible where you can take advantage of those rates. Being in a 5-year fixed right now, signing a new 5-year fix is not going to allow me in 18 months to be able to take advantage of lower rates. So really what you want to look at is 1-year fixed, maybe even a variable. And now people will say, but Dave, it's a 5-year variable. Well, hold on. 5-year variable, yes, but with the ability to lock into a fixed rate at any time, i.e. flexibility, right? Even a 2-year fix. 2-year fix is definitely something as well. If you don't believe the Bank of Canada is going to lower rates the way that we're all thinking, then maybe the 2-year is a bit of a hedge as well. But the olden days of just slapping your name on that 5-year fix and signing it and going home, I think is over. You need to strategize. We just had rates lift off like crazy. Realistically, there will be a rebound. I want to try to time it. It's very hard to time it, but I want to time it so that I'm just not in a position where I'm stuck with this long-term rate that I can't get out of, and it's not in the zone that I was hoping for.
Yeah, and you know, my take on it is I'm almost saying I agree with you 100% if we're looking at 18-month or 2-year fixed. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why is that you and I both know the Bank of Canada rate only affects our variable rate mortgage, right?
Correct.
So that's going to take a little while to climb down. You know, they're saying, yeah, we could be like, you know, some of the economists, they're saying 2.75, but 2.75 Bank of Canada rate doesn't mean that that's your variable rate.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So that's the thing, right? Because you either have to get it discounted or whatever, but it's always plus, plus, plus.
Yep.
So a 2.75 doesn't mean a 2.75.
Correct. Yeah. So, the crazy part is there's a lot of confusion too, and people need to understand this. They'll talk about the Bank of Canada overnight rate. Then you're going to talk about the Bank of Canada prime rate. It's very important to know that the Bank of Canada overnight rate is always going to be that lower rate. So if they're saying they're going to get the Bank of Canada rate down to overnight rate down to 2.75, that actually means they're going to have the prime rate, which is tied to the variables, sitting at about 4.9, right? 4.9, then minus your discount, you might have something around 4.2, which is, you know, I would take that today. Look, most people in a variable are sitting at a 6.4, some 6.6. So that would be a massive relief to them. But to your point, and I agree with you, the fixed rates are going to be the ones that come down first. Bank of Canada, whatever move they make, will be coming after the fixed rates and the bond market have already figured out what they're going to do.
Right. So I think that if you kind of play it, and this is, again, you and I playing the game of Monopoly here, So if you and I do this right, I'm playing with that 18 to 20, 24 month, you know, get it locked in just until so you survive to that point. I think your fixed rate mortgage, I think a healthy fixed rate mortgage, we should be looking in that time somewhere around that 3.99 kind of rate.
That's correct, yeah.
Which is going to be a nice healthy rate. At that point, I'm going to tell everybody, lock it in for 5 years. Because, Dave, I know I've talked to you this. You know, I think our real estate cycle is going to shorten up. I don't think everybody should look at this and say, okay, you know, we are at the bottom of the real estate cycle. Most cycles that we have seen have that 9-10 year flavor to them. We've started seeing them shorten up. Like we've seen 12-year cycles, we've seen 9-year cycles, we've seen 8-year cycles. Quite frankly, I think we could even see a shorter cycle this time around, and it could be a 6 or 7 year cycle. And this is the thing where we see the peak, the valleys, and somewhere in the middle. So I'm actually predicting that as soon as you know the gas gets put on to real estate, I think that over the next few years, yeah, we're going to see some attractive interest rates. And then I think we're going to see inflation go up again. And I think we get punished again. So I think that really there's kind of going to be this little lull that's going to be perfect. And I'd say 18 months to 48 months right now will be the peak of the real estate market.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about this quite a bit before. I mean, I think, you know, there's also so many other factors involved. I mean, information flow is at such a rapid pace that that actually can contribute to these cycles being quicker as well. You know, and to your point, look, when you're coming off the heels of incredibly high volatility with inflation, which is a very, very important thing for any economy, you got to be careful. You know, you can't just all of a sudden, you know, think, oh, yeah, we're going to have a bull run for the next 10 years now. We've made it through the end.
Nope.
No, I really do think that we got to be super careful here. Volatility and inflation doesn't just go away. Certainly, if it's done correctly, it can. But I think we can all agree that to get to the point we were at means it's probably not being done correctly.
Yeah. And you know, I think you're bang on with that, because if we take a look at, like I said, historically, there's all sorts of factors. And as Dave said, you know, information's flying faster and faster. You know, we used to turn around, Dave, when I first got into real estate, you know, at the most, if you were hot on the subject, you knew monthly reports, you know. Normally it was quarterly. You know, we used to have these big MLS books. They were great for propping up the dining room table when you're done with them. But today, when we take a look at it, I mean, it's almost hourly. And, you know, when we go through these different markets, you know, when we have Tim Hudak here, you know, he's sitting there saying, like, you know, he gets information in the morning, information in the afternoon, you know, and you got changing factors. And I think that with the speed of technology, you know, volatility of market, and just the people themselves, I mean, the NIMBYs, everybody else, I mean, this is going to be one heck of a ride. And look, I always appreciate every single week when you have the time and joining me, Dave, because you know what? You definitely clarify a lot of stuff. I think, you know, having you on the show is awesome. And, you know, for our you know, listeners, how do they get in touch with Dave Butler?
You can reach me. My email is pretty simple. It's dave@davebutler.ca. So that's an easy one. And you can always reach us, 416-561-4285. Happy to help. Want to try to help some Canadians get out of the mess that our government has put us in.
Yeah, well, it's always great having you join us, Dave, and thanks so much for coming in today. Hey, listen, you know what? As we do every single week, you know, we do want to make sure that everybody knows how much we appreciate you tuning in. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we're well over, you know, 400 plus 450 shows somewhere. I lost count. Maybe we're approaching 500. But, you know, one of the things that we've had the pleasure of doing is becoming the number one real estate talk show in Canada. And I do want to thank everybody for tuning in and making that happen for us. You know, guests like Dave, he just, you know, he solidifies everything so well when we talk about real estate, investment real estate, and just really, you know, good old Canadian values about what we're trying to achieve. You know, real estate really is the basis for so many families. And one of the things I'll always encourage everybody to do is create generational wealth. You know what? The next generation is going to need everybody's help. Real estate can be that solution. So thanks so much for tuning in every single week. I do want to thank Aiden, keeping it simple for me every single week as my producer, as well as Ian Grant at head office. And of course, I'll be back next week as usual. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.